Hello, my name is Aya. I'm a 19-year-old female originally from Libya. I'm an atheist. I have been since the age of 11. Knowing the consequences I would have to face if I confessed this to the public, I decided to keep it a secret. However, my boss had confronted me about a week ago about not praying as much as I should. I knew I had to think of a response, and quick. My only choice was to trust her and believe that she wouldn't say anything to anyone. Worst decision I could have made. I was instantly fired and the news quickly began circulating. Not too long after, my parents had found out and decided to kick me out. It was probably for the best. They would have had to face the consequences as well, simply for letting an atheist reside with them. On the bright side, I'm a female, which means that I will get punished with life imprisonment. If I were a man, I'd be punished by death. I thought about escaping and running away to another country where I wouldn't be punished for my religion. Welcome to Politician Mission. My name is Zenica Vicent, and welcome to this week's episode. For non-Canadians, or those who aren't quite sure what the Charter is, in a nutshell, the Charter is a Bill of Rights that was established in 1982, which assisted in the development of the first part of the Constitution Act. The Charter protects Canadian citizens from the policies the governments have set, which include fundamental freedoms, democratic rights, equality rights, etc. Although, the Charter comes with its limitations. Some of these rights and freedoms have limits attached to them in order to protect other rights or national values. For instance, your freedom of speech comes with limitations when it turns into hate speech targeted towards a certain group. Not only was the Charter developed to ensure the government's laws were fair, but also to ensure everyone could freely express themselves and be treated equally. However, the Charter could either be seen as the seed or resolution to conflicts that occur in society. For example, the Charter may cause a competing right conflict. An example of this is a 2012 competing rights case, where it's gender versus religion. A woman by the name of Faith McGregor walked into a barber shop and was displeased after she was denied service because it went against the religion of the barber. She later filed a complaint to the OHRC. In my opinion, McGregor overreacted just a little bit. She said the incident left her a little bit angry but more shocked and hurt, and mentioned it was scary and upsetting. However, I think this problem could have easily been solved if McGregor were just to take a few more minutes to find another barber who would be willing to cut her hair. In the end, it would be affecting the barber, and I don't think he would be too worried about losing one customer. Although, I think the barber could do a better job at letting potential customers know that he can only handle the hair of men. Different people deal with different situations in many different ways. Every day, people open our eyes to new perspectives and opinions on many topics, and the world is changing right before our eyes. The Supreme Court has made laws that contribute to this change. When creating new laws and enforcements, the Supreme Court must take the opinion and perspectives of Canadian citizens into consideration in order to maintain or achieve the free society we wish to have. Over time, the Supreme Court has gotten rid of laws that discriminate against people because of personal characteristics or beliefs. The Supreme Court must carefully analyze the situations that are brought to them to ensure everyone involved is fairly managed. Because of this, they do not announce their final decision right away. They speak privately amongst each other for the span of at least 30 days to come to a final conclusion. Oftentimes, the judges attempt to get the other judges to reflect on alternate perspectives, and in order to come to a final decision, 4 of the 9 judges must agree. The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms should be considered politically significant on a national level. Canada allows their citizens to have these freedoms and rights as long as it isn't harming anyone, which isn't acceptable in some countries. For example, mobility rights, which is having the ability to enter and leave Canada when you please, meaning you can move from place to place within the nation or leave the country if you would like to. Mobility rights are seen as a basic human right. However, some countries force their citizens to leave their home or move to an isolated area. Another right is legal rights. The right for protection from unlawful or unjust arrest or detention from the government. This is also seen as a basic right. Even so, imprisonment is the only punishment you may receive in some countries. Thirdly, fundamental freedoms. In Canada, you may express your beliefs, opinions, and associate with whom you please as long as it is peaceful and will not cause anyone harm. Some countries like North Korea and Libya do not practice freedom of speech, while some, such as Cuba and Syria, follow a strict censorship. Certain countries insist on having control over the religion and beliefs of their citizens. Lastly, democratic rights. In Canada, every citizen has the right to vote and run for political office after the age of 18. Not every country has a democracy because the system isn't as considerable or grand as we believe it is. Ending off this week's podcast with a question. Why is it important to ensure that every person's rights and freedoms are protected? Too often throughout history have humans' liberties have been taken away because of something as foolish as greed. Receiving basic human rights and freedoms grants us control over our personal life and allows us to freely express ourselves. It also protects us from exploitation and violence in workplaces and public areas. Human rights protects vulnerable groups from abuse and allows them to stand up to democratic dishonesty. Human rights gives people the freedom to love whom they choose and have access to a decent education. Unfortunately, these rights and freedoms aren't available to everyone, and there are millions of people in the world that don't have control over their own life. It doesn't feel all that great for someone else to be making all the decisions you wish to make for yourself. Countries such as Somalia and South Sudan are examples of places that live without freedom. Their citizens do not have the ability to make choices about their own life and its direction. There's always something that they will not be able to do. They do not have control over anything whatsoever, not even their own job. They get treated and worked like dogs, and it's really heartbreaking to me because I can't wrap my head around what that would feel like. But it's just a normal, everyday thing for them. I'm truly blessed to live in Canada, and sometimes I take it for granted. And that's all for today's podcast. Thank you for listening.